You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 945. It's going to be a chat between me and my great co-host, Kurt. And we're going to be discussing in this episode some of the AI tools and other stuff that we use on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to run our agencies, hosting, whatever we are up to in the WordPress space. I think if you're a freelancer or a small agency owner, you're going to get some great value from this show, or we hope you will. Kirk, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Mañana No Mas, and we focus largely on membership and learning websites. We also work directly with WP Tonic and the good folks at Lifter LMS.
Certainly does. So before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show and give you all the best AI tools and services that we're using, we got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got a great free resource for you freelancers and small agency owners. That's the curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services and other stuff. Plus, we got some special offers from our sponsors. You can get all these free goodies by going over to the wp-tonic.com/tilt. wp-tonic.com/tools, and you can get all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that point. It still brings a smile to Kirk, and I get more feedback about that little thing I do than anything else. I don't know if that depresses me a little bit, beloved tribe, but there we go. So let's start with one of your picks, ChatGPT. So what's your thoughts about this that you chose, Kurt?
I think if we're going to have any talk about AI, it's the girl in the room, and it has to be mentioned. You know, it's like the forerunner, right? Everyone goes, oh, ChatGPT. Even if they're not using ChatGPT, they'll say ChatGPT. It's like Googling something. Someone will go to, you know, any kind of other search engine and say, oh, I'm just going to Google it, right? Like a verb. My own opinion is that ChatGPT changes a lot. And it seems like a lot of the other tools out there are just like a wrapped version of a custom GPT off of ChatGPT, right? So it's the big one. It's the big one in the room. But I think at the rate that it changes, and the idea that you have to become a prompt engineer to use it efficiently, I think it's a lot for a lot of people to bite off. I think it's deceptively easy looking when you get in, and then you realize, I don't know what the heck I'm doing and my results are horrible, but you don't know how to fix it right away. And that's, I think that's where there's going to be room in the future for, you know, AI experts to pave the way for people.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. How much, do you don't mind me asking, how much do you spend with, because that's one of the things, how much do you reckon you're spending on ChatGPT per month?
I did the $20 a month thing for a little while and I discontinued it because, and I'm very clear about this, I was lazy. I wanted to find tools that kind of did prompts for me in the background. So I didn't have to be the prompt engineer. I just want the results. And so when I pay for tools, I now take the easy way out. I pay for tools that are like pre-prompted, and I get my results more quickly for my particular use case. I always go back to use case. Super important that you know your use case, what you're looking for, and then you execute accordingly.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with the great points you're making out. I'm in exactly the same position. I think one of its strengths is for around $20 a month, it offers a number of AI tools, quite a large selection. I think in some areas, a lot of areas now, it isn't the best tool in a specific in the combination of arrows in its quiver that it's offering. But that's one of the problems of a Swiss Army knife. That's one of the problems in general when a SaaS product tries to become everything to everybody. And it doesn't really, none of the tools that it's providing are the best. But as a large language model, obviously the investment and the money that has been poured into this company and the support of Microsoft still means it will be a major player in the coming years. But on the other hand, which we're going to discuss, which is one of my choices, in general, I've moved away from ChatGPT because of the specifics of my own requirements. So I'm utilizing Claude a lot more than directly or indirectly, because some of the third-party tools that I use, they give me the choice. I can select different language models to choose from. But I do use Claude as well directly. And it's one of the main competitors to ChatGPT. It's still only got, like, I think, only 3-4% of the usage base, but it is growing rapidly. And I think a lot of the online influencers on YouTube and podcasting is some of the voices that I regularly listen to keep myself up to speed in this area. They not in totality, but the majority of these influencers say that if you're producing a lot of content and you're using AI to help you write that content, that Claude is a better tool than ChatGPT. What's your response to what I've just outlined?
Personally, not a Claude user, and I should say yet. Same boat as you. You know, I hear people like Mark Szymanski mention Claude a bunch. Other people on YouTube, on, you know, different feedbacks, different things in the X feed, I'll see that people are kind of promoting successes with Claude. And where I'm seeing a lot of notes about people succeeding with Claude is like helping with making a plugin or helping with some kind of coding or helping. They're saying it's better results out of the chute than ChatGPT. So I think when I go back into a large language model overarching tool, I'm probably going to sample Claude next.
Yeah. On to one of your choices. So what is it, and explain why you like it?
I assume we're talking about Opus Pro.
Yes, number 3 on our list.
Yeah, Opus Pro to me is, and I've been on it for a while, but I found it to be kind of a game changer. It was really fun. This is where, like, I think some of the reward when we use AI, I think there should be a giddiness or a sense of fun about it. And that's Opus Pro gives me that giddiness and sense of fun. I can take a long form video, like let's say I do a live and I talk for 30 minutes. I can take that video, put it into Opus, and Opus through AI will generate 18 to 20 different small clips with subtitles, and they have different templates that you can choose. So the subtitles can look different ways, but they'll make these small clips anywhere from, I think it's like 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And I take those clips and I literally just schedule them throughout my social media channels, because and it populates your shorts channel on YouTube. So, and that's something that YouTube said that they were looking to actively promote, was more shorts, right? And so you generate all of these shorts with Opus Pro. It does it automatically. And you can share socially directly through the Opus interface. You don't have to like download it and then upload it to something else, right? You can do it right through their interface. You can say, here's my YouTube, my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my Instagram, and click, 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 share, click, 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 schedule. And you can schedule those posts out over time. So to me, Opus Pro is fun. You get like a little bit of giddiness about it. And the posts that it creates, it rates for you. So it'll tell you right up front, like this one has a 99% chance of virality. This one has an 82% chance of virality. So it's giving you hints on what to fix to make your content better. And you can edit the individual clips. So you can go in and you can edit them. You can shorten them, lengthen them, take words out, whatever you want to do. It edits video like Descript does, if you've ever used Descript. Yeah. You can highlight words, delete the words, but it also deletes that section of words in the video too. So it's a really fun tool.
So did you utilize Descript and then you moved over to Opus?
No, in true transparency, I still have a paid membership to Descript as well, because some of the training material we make over at Lifter LMS uses Descript.
All right, yeah.
So I got stuck staying with it.
So what Opus, you know, it starts at around $15 if you pay monthly, and then the next, the Pro is $29. So it's not ridiculously expensive. Obviously, all these subscriptions all add up, so you've got to keep them under some control. I'm always looking for good special offers with Pro. But on the other hand, I've really got to think about it, especially when I'm purchasing annual special deals with these products, because it's ever changing and a product might be the leader for a 6 month to a year period and then it's in decline. So you always just got to make a judgment call. So when you're comparing Opus with the other tool that was it called Descript? Yeah, sorry, my mind went blank. How would you classify it, the strengths and weaknesses of both products?
Well, Opus generates that short-term content, short-form content, right? Descript takes long-form content and cleans it up. So if I'm making, we work in the e-learning sector, right? So when I'm making e-learning videos, I use Descript. It adds studio voice, so it makes you sound more official. And so it gives you studio voice, and you can clean up the ums and the ahs and take some of that stuff out, and you get a much cleaner video for e-learning courses. And it's long form. It's the whole length of the video that it does. Whereas Opus takes that whole length video and breaks it into little clips. Now, speaking about AI, Descript launched an AI tool that also does shorts inside, which I haven't used yet because I have Opus, but I plan on testing it out and seeing what that looks like over the next month.
And would you say Descript, compared to the more traditional editing tools like Premiere or Final Cut, the more kind of, or, you know, there's a whole host of video.
Yeah.
Do you think Descript has really disrupted the video editing? Do you think it actually does save time and help with editing?
For the type of content where you are, you know, confessional video, use you, camera, talking, Descript is probably one of the best ways to go, because it is super time-saving. But if your training videos have any kind of other material, stock footage or anything like that, then you're back in a Premiere Pro version, right? So I have Premiere Pro also.
Mm-hmm. Rightio, I tend just to keep using ScreenFlow myself. Yeah. On to one of my picks, Koala Bear. This basically is a bit like what Kirk outlined at the beginning of this discussion. It's a wrapper. It provides the interface. But I found, because I'm producing, which Kirk can back up, I produce a lot of content per week, do I not, Kirk?
You do.
And I just don't, the content that I'm producing with the help of AI, I just don't give it a title and let it spew out. I actually do an outline, do the research, give Koala outline. I can choose which language, large language, I'm going to be utilizing. I tend to utilize Claude because I found it to provide some of the best results. It's got a number of other features. It's got, it can help you produce meta descriptions, and it's one of the better. There are some other, of these platforms that help you write content. And I'll be talking about some of them in the show, but I've stayed with this one, and they do periodically offer quite large discounts if you pay, and you can get a large, it's a kind of token base, but if you buy, they come up like twice a year, and I've stuck with Koala and I've been using it a lot, and I decided to take up one of their larger offers because I've been satisfied. Like I say, there are some cheaper ones, but I found for my particular case usage that I've stuck with Koala, and I think most of the influencers that I listen to who spend a lot of time looking at these tools, Koala might not be on the top of their list because it's one of the more expensive of these tools, but it's always in the top 2 to 3 that they talk about. And through taking advantage of the special offers that Koala periodically offer, I've got it at a discount. So I think for the price I paid for what it provides, I would highly recommend it. If you're not taking up its special offer, it starts at around $9 per month. These are month-to-month prices. And it's got the starter plan at $25. It's got the professional at $49. And it's got the boost at $99. Now, these prices seem a bit, you can't produce too many articles from the essential starter. You really have to start looking at the professional boost. But some of the other all-embracing Swiss Army knife solutions out there, they're very expensive. So I use a combination of tools where I've bought lifetime deals. One of them I'm going to be talking about later on. I look for special offers. But I would highly recommend this because I just like the interface and I like the way the company is run. Any thoughts, Kurt?
Well, as someone that sees the content that you generate there, I can vouch for the quality of the stuff that I see. You know, it uses a good variance of you know, styles, right? So bullets and sections and all those things. The content's great.
Yeah, but I want to stress to the listeners and viewers, I put a lot, it can take me a whole afternoon to produce an article, even utilizing this tool.
Yeah.
Because I look for articles, I read them, I take the titles, I formulate a structure of the article, and then Koala helps me produce the article. Then we internally edit it, which Kirk helps me with. I do edit, Kirk does edit, and we spend a bit of time on it. We just don't throw it out. Almost all the articles that I produce for the WP Tonic website to attract people to the website, we also add other content, video, audio. We throw the kitchen sink at it, basically, do we not, Kurt?
No, and I think that's an important thing to bring up is these AI tools aren't a replacement for human energy and human thought. They're just tools. They're tools to get us further down the road than where we might have gotten without them. Very important to keep your own voice and your own opinion and your own things, you know, intertwined into the content.
Yeah, I think that's what, that's my own. I totally agree with you. You know, that's the difference between handwriting and using a typewriter. That's the difference between using a typewriter and a word processor. That's the difference between using a word processor and maybe AI tool. They're just tools. I totally agree with you. I think this whole discussion between what we're discussing in this episode, Kirk, and general AI intelligence, it's all got mixed up into a kind of witch's brew. And because general AI intelligence is interspersed with these specific large language models, it's all become very confused and the conversations have become very scattered. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
I would agree 100%. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, AI burnout for the average user. I mean, every tool that someone, let's say you're new to SaaS or WordPress or anything, it's like every tool you download or look at is going to say, oh, it's AI powered or AI injected or AI something. And at the end of the day, what does that really mean? Like, what is it doing for you? And I think there's a lot of confusion around that landscape.
All right, let's go on to a tool that you like, and that's WriteBlogger. Maybe give us an idea how it came on your radar, why you decided to try it out, and why have you kept with it, and why you like it.
Well, I never would have known about WriteBlogger if Ryan Roberts didn't come and be a guest on the WP Tonic show. So I met him through the show, met the product through the show, and we had mentioned that I had been paying for ChatGPT and was wondering, why am I paying for ChatGPT, right? So it was right about that time. So I was in the perfect space to migrate to a different tool. And WriteBlogger for me, is it the best tool for writing? Is it the best? I'm going to have to tell you, probably is not. I bet you your Koala is probably much better at generating posts and content in that way.
Well, what do you read? Because you help me with the content that I'm producing, and then you look at the content. What's your own judgment?
My own judgment is I think WriteBlogger needs. Here's why I use it, Jonathan. Let's get to brass tacks. I'm lazy, and because
I don't think you are. You seem a very hard worker. I think I'm a maniac. That's the difference. So I have no personal life. I just have a few friends, and I just live in front of my. I'm a sorry bastard, really.
Well,
so I've accepted my fate, though. It's all in God's hands, and I made my bed, and I have to accept to lay in it.
Yeah. Well, when I first got into WriteBlogger, after the show that we did with Ryan, here's what I liked about it. I didn't have to be a prompt expert any longer. I didn't have to write a paragraph to ChatGPT to tell it what I thought I wanted it to do. Now, I literally just put a subject line in, and this thing can give me an outline. And then I can review the outline and go, do I want to change it or do I want to use it the way it is?
Can I interrupt just a second? I also think you're quite a good writer. I'm not. I'm a bit of a thinker, which is a two-edged sword, I think. But obviously I've got a bit of dyslexia. So I need a really quality tool. But I think what this tool might help you with is get the stuff out, and then because you're a pretty good writer, you then edit it.
Yeah.
So for your own, because you're a pretty good writer and you like writing, what you're looking for from a tool is a little bit different from what I'm looking for.
That's a really great way to say that, Jonathan. Really great way. The WriteBlogger does more than write the articles, which is why I was so attracted to this tool. I go back to video. I make a lot of video content. I go live at the drop of a hat, right? Just to get an idea, I go live. Boom. With this tool, I can put a video in and it will make a transcription of the video. And most people have seen that and they go, okay, a transcribed video, no big deal. But it'll also take a video and write a summary like a write a blog post out of that video. So then now I've got two different ways to do that. Then I can take that blog post and I can break it into smaller social posts that this system will organize and get ready for me. So as you know, when we make these videos, it's our content. Like you and I are talking right now. This is our content, our thoughts. But if I can take that verbal spoken content and have it broken down into usable pieces by this tool and inject it into different channels, then it works really well for me.
Yes. And hopefully he will agree to come back on the show because he's got an enormous amount of experience in running online businesses and the marketing side. But he's got a very nice personality, a nice way of coming across. He is very bright, isn't he? He's not gloomy like me, is he?
No, he stuck out to me. And I was like, hey, I'll check out the product. And next thing you know, I'm a customer. So,
and the prices are, he's got a free plan and then he's got an unlimited plan. Which is $29.99. And if you pay month to month, I can't believe that it can be totally unlimited. But I'd imagine you've got to really hit it very hard before they say anything to you. But that's not a bad price, $29.99 unlimited, is it?
No, and I use it a fair amount. I use it with the video a lot, and then I use maybe 3 or 4 articles a month.
Right. I think we're going to go for our mid-break. We got through a fair, but we got still a ton of others. I had quite a few in reserve as well. So we got a ton of other tools that we regularly use for our second half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast of AI tools and services in the first half. A load of toys for you to go and try and waste tons of time on. But before we go into the second half, I just want to say, if you're looking for a great hosting provider, not only provides great hosting, but all the best plugin technology and a lot more in one package, so which you can white label and utilize to service your clients, why don't you have a look at WP Tonic's hosting? We offer some great deals for our professional partners. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. There's a form to fill in, gives you more information. Then you can fill in a form and then we can have a Zoom and a chat. And we'd love you to come on board. And it really would support the show if you decided to become a partner as well. Right, on to the next one. One that's one of my stars, NeuroWriter. Basically, it came on my radar by one of the online influencers that I follow, and I bought the Asuma deal, and I've had a mixed track record with Asuma. I've had some great deals products, and I've been totally ripped off by AppSumo and some of its partners as well. So I'm a bit wary, so I do my research. But these people, they're based in Holland. Not Holland, sorry, folks. Poland. And I bought, and then it's really helped me with the organisation and the research that I do for my articles, because I use a number of tools in the professional SEO space to do research. That takes up a couple of hours. Then I have a process that I go through, a quiver of AI and other tools. And one of the main tools is NeuroWriter. It, compared to what it does, is it basically looks at the competition and looks at the word patterns, because this is what Google is using. Google is using its own internal large language processor to determine the quality of articles in ranking. That one of its main criteria was external links, people linking, and it still is quite important, but it became totally abused by professional SEO experts and using link farms and other techniques. So Google was aware that they were being played, and so they had to back off. But there was no way of backing. But then these large language models came, and they've invested billions and billions and billions, and they were utilizing that technology to assess the quality of articles about 3-4 years ago, and they were diminishing their need to utilize link authority, basically. Hopefully I haven't lost most of you, but being that you're a professional WordPress, I would imagine a lot of you have some knowledge around SEO. So NeuroWriter, there's a number of these tools out there. There are some of the competitors are extremely expensive. I got this, and then I bought even more lifetime tokens, and I use it a ton, and they've never hit me for any more money, and they continue to improve it. When it comes to the actual interface, it is not as polished as some of the other players out there that are doing a similar thing, but the power is there. So I would highly recommend it. What's your response? Have I totally lost you, Kurt?
A little, but that's okay. So
I lose you quite regularly, don't I? Because I'm such a maniac, can't I?
No, but so when I look,
I'm a friendly maniac, though, aren't I? Most of the
a friendly time. Maniac.
I could have a few moments where I'm not very friendly, but in general, I am.
Nah, for the most part, you're a teddy bear. NeuroWriter. When I looked at NeuroWriter, I had this like weird sensation that it wasn't for my use case. I had the sensation when I went to their site that it was more geared to like a publication house. Like it was geared for a team of writers making tons of content for like an online magazine or paper. Like it just seemed...
Well, you can use it for that. You can use it. It does provide writing. I personally choose not to use it. I use it snippets of its writing to add maybe some additional content to my articles. But I use Koala for the majority of the content.
For the action. So this is more like the research tool, and then you take that over to Koala?
Yes. And then, I do manual research as well, and I use NeuroWriter to actually do additional and provide insight and list of keywords and that, which I can then put into Koala, and Koala will take those words. Basically, it does what a very, very experienced SEO content writer could do, because it was an art form. Most writers couldn't do it effectively, and only the most powerful, experienced teams of content writers could do this in an effective way, and the time it would take. that I'm not going to name, and there's a few, how shall I put this diplomatically? Because I want to be more diplomatic, because everybody else is getting extremely rude to one another in the word in the WordPress space. I've never seen a level of toxicity in the WordPress space that we are observing at the present moment.
Yeah.
And I don't want to totally back off and lose credibility. But on the other hand, I don't want to engage in it at the level that we are observing, because I don't think it's helpful either. So it's finding the right balance, and I'm struggling, but I'm trying to find that balance. But get back to it. To do this, there's a few companies in the WordPress space that did it very effectively, and they spent a ton of money on it. And if you were a smaller player, you couldn't produce the volume. Now with all these tools and that, a 1-2 person team can produce a lot of good content. And this helps. But I do use the writing functionality a bit, but I don't, only about 1/5 to 1/4. The rest of it I'm using other tools, Kurt.
In terms of a learning curve,
mm-hmm.
on a 1 to 5 scale, where would you rate Neuron Writer for a pain in the butt to learn?
It's not a pain. You're just going to have to do a dive on YouTube and on the internet, because some of its key functionality, some of its real power, depending on the case usage, is really hidden in the interface. The interface is not top notch. It just isn't a great. It isn't terrible. But I'm a UX snob, so
if you answered my question, it'd be a 4 out of 5.
It's about, you will have to do a bit of a dive and watch it. There are resources out there that really give you some tips about utilizing NeuronWriter.
Yeah.
But it's an extremely powerful tool. But you do have to understand more than the fundamentals of SEO to really get it. But it's well worth the investment, folks.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Right, let's go on to our bonus stuff. So what's I'm looking at your list. You got one called from X, or I still call it Twitter. I'm not calling it X. It's always good. I don't care if he wants to call it X. It's Twitter, far as I'm concerned. I'm having a go at you, aren't I? How do you pronounce it? Grok?
Grok. That's how I say it. Grok. I assume I'm right.
It never stops me from saying something, does it?
Grok to me. How do I explain this adventure? I wasn't really looking for an AI tool when I signed up for Grok, but here's the deal. I have a few different X accounts. One of them, I was like, maybe I should put the blue check mark on that. And then I'm like, do I really want to pay for a blue check mark? That's stupid. And then it turns out, you know, you get all these premium services, you get the analytics, you get all these things, and then you also get access to Grok. And I thought, you know what? Let's just do it. So I paid for it for the year, got it. And then you get that, hey, if I paid for it, I might as well use it syndrome, right?
I haven't even looked at this. I just paid, because I upload a ton of video to my Twitter accounts, and that's why I pay. And I don't care about him. You know, I'm just a small fry. I can't be very moralistic. I just go and use it, and I accept the realities of the situation. So tell us more. I interrupted as I normally do.
This is my main use, and I'm sure there's going to be, you know, some comments that come in that say that's all you're doing. If I already have these other tools, right? So I'm already using WriteBlogger. I got access to ChatGPT. I got all these things. So when I go into Grok, sometimes I'll be in my X account and I'll just want to ask a question or something. Grok is there. I hit it. Boom, done. But what I do use it for is I create a lot of images through it. Its image creator is pretty vibrant, and I don't have, you know, I'm not on Magi or any of these other tools for image creation. So I go into Grok and I say, hey, Grok, create me a picture of this, this, and this. And it might be for the featured image of an article I wrote or something. And it does a really good job. It kicks out what I really like about Grok is it has a, whatever it generates for you, whether it's a typed answer or a picture or whatever it generates for you, underneath whatever the output is a little icon for regeneration. And so you can just click that and it instantly gives you another stab at it. Like, let's say I want a picture of a guy on a mountain. So it sends me four pictures of guys on mountains. And I'm like, nah, don't like any of those. Just click regenerate. And there it is. And that makes it really easy. Whereas like in ChatGPT, you find yourself copying and pasting your requests and changing things and trying to re-prompt it. And I think I've already been really clear. I'm not a prompt engineer. And so I lose patience with having to always change the way I'm asking ChatGPT for something. Whereas with Grok, I just go, I ask the question. If I don't like the answer, I hit regenerate. We take another stab at it.
That's fantastic. Right. I'm going to talk about Word Hero. Now, Word Hero was another AppSumo deal. And I bought the lifetime. I think it does for me a little bit of what WriteBlogger does for you, is that it provides a whole interface of different scripts, prompts that I can utilize to generate content for various scenarios. It provides 40, 50 different prompt interfaces for different stuff. And I use it on a regular basis. The actual writing it produces, I wouldn't use it for key stuff because I don't think Google really loves it, because it's utilizing a cheaper language model to produce some of it. So I've got other tools that I use to do it, but it just saves me a ton of time. Now, I got it on a lifetime deal with AppSumo and they never hit me up for more money. But would I pay its normal monthly? Probably not, because they want $49 a month or $99. I could probably consider the $49, but I definitely wouldn't pay $99 a month for it. But I think periodically they're on AppSumo. I can't remember how much I paid for the lifetime deal. I've been lucky on the AI tool. I bought about three or four on AppSumo and only one has hardly ever been used. The others have become key parts. But that generally doesn't happen. If you get one out of 50% usage out of AppSumo buys, you're doing well. I would definitely say it does the job and look at it, and it depends on your case scenario. It's just the price to value metrics. I think it's one of the weaker of my choices. What's your response, Kurt?
I really don't have an opinion because I haven't used it.
Right, fair enough. On to the next one, your one, I think, ZeroGPT. I think that was one of your choices. Tell us more.
I think that's one that you popped in the list, actually, but ZeroGPT to me was, it is like a, how do I say this? It seems like it's wrapped around ChatGPT, but gives you a more affordable way to use it. And I'm not sure how they really get away with doing that. Well, but it's pretty direct, and it gives you...
I've had a brain fart. What else? I apologize. I had a total brain fart this morning. I haven't had enough coffee. What this does, sorry to interrupt. Do you want to continue? What do you want? Because
it seems to have some pre-built prompts in it, like a plagiarism checker and grammar checks and AI translator and things like that. And it seems like it's a partially programmed ChatGPT to get you further down the road than using ChatGPT by yourself.
Oh, you're totally correct, but I don't use it for that. But you're totally right. No, it has all those tools which I don't use because it's got much better stuff. What I use it is it detects AI content, and it's one of the better checkers. There's a whole suite of these checkers because Google's in a little dance with the SEO world and the content It's a highly, I'm looking for the right word. I did have it. It's a very two-faced company. They are the biggest hypocrites of the internet, Google. For years, they've been using large language models as part of their ranking behind the scenes. But they also know that ChatGPT and these other technologies can, you know, their total domination of the online world, of the economics, they totally dominate it, apart from Facebook and some other social media platforms. It's slightly under threat. I think some people say they're finished. I don't believe that myself. I think if they did nothing, it would still take a number of years. I think people in the technology bubble have gone to ChatGPT to do search. But I think there's some which you have expressed. You can waste a lot of time on these prompts and a lot of... So I think it's changing, but I think there's a lot of people. But they felt under threat. So and it's affected me a bit, but I've responded and it's coming back for me a bit. But they really have hit the professional blogging online scene and hit people that were using AI to produce blogging content to some degree. This particular tool, you put your content in and it will tell you if it's been written by AI. And I do a bit of it, but on the other hand, I've had content that is clearly seen as AI generated. But because I've added a lot of additional quality elements to the content, Google's been fine with it. I've added stuff that I've put in for checking, and then I'm going to be talking about a couple of tools that is called humanization. That there are some tools out there now that Google can't detect. And I've done that, and they still haven't ranked. So it's all up in the air, folks. But this is one of the leading tools, and it basically goes to a number. It's kind of interface, and then you put your content in. And depending if you're using the free or one of the paid levels, determines how much content you can put in. And it just tells you if it's AI detectable and the percentage, and that's what I mainly use it for. Have I explained that coherently, or have I just...
No. You nailed it.
Right, on to... So let's look at one you've wanted to talk about, Microsoft Copilot.
Oh, boy. You're going to make me say this on the air. Microsoft Copilot. I just got a new computer, and everything you touch on this computer is recommending that you run Copilot with it. And it's again, that's talking about that kind of that AI burnout, right? Like, what is this thing really? Do I need it in Word? Do I need it in PowerPoint? Do I need it in all these things? Apparently, Microsoft thinks I do. So I thought, I got it. I might as well try it. So the first time I went to use it, it said sign in. So I signed into my Microsoft.
Oh, dear.
As it said, do you want to use it anonymously? I said, well, you just made me sign in, and now you know what computer I'm on. It doesn't matter if I'm anonymous or not.
This is all good signs, isn't it?
You know, and I'm having Gemini flashbacks about how bad this experience is going to be. And so then I said, okay, it says, do you want to use it for work or do you want to use it for personal use? I said, well, let's click on work. I'm going to write an article for Mañana Nomás. So let's use work. So I click on work and it just refreshes and goes back to the same screen with the same two buttons. So I said, that's ridiculous. So then it says, do you want to use it anonymously? So I click on that. That's the only button on the page now that works. And when I click, do you want to use it anonymously? It takes me back to the login screen. And it just goes around and around in a circle and it doesn't work. The next day I click on Copilot, and it goes right to a page in Microsoft 365 that says, you know, ask a question. What do you want to know today? And I'm like, okay, well, that was pretty cool. And it's like a Grok or a ChatGPT type interface, right? The idea that this tool is meant to be woven into every basic thing in your computer, meaning Word, PowerPoint, Excel, into your Android phone, into your whatever. It's overkill for me, Jonathan. It seems like you're being kidnapped. I'm not exactly sure I want to play in this field.
No, well, I'm just thankful I'm on my Mac. But Apple, I'm not saying Apple are any better than Microsoft. It's a bit like the days of Explorer where there was, but.
Everybody gets Explorer.
Yeah, that's about it. On to my next one, which is HappyScribe, another AppSumo purchase a while ago. And I use it every week because it helps me subscribe the transcription of these podcasts. And the problem with it's improved. It's not perfect. You can ask them to use a human being to help you do it, but that's like $2 a minute. I just use it. If I use it heavily, they do ask me for a bit more money, but you get a big discount because you bought the lifetime deal. And they don't hit, they're not asking a ridiculous amount. So I think they've done it in a good way. And the deal I got, I could have bought more tokens, but I just went for the middle road and made the assumption. And it covers me most weeks, but there are the odd week where I have to give them a little bit more money for the month. But they've done it in a good way, in a legitimate way. And it's so, you know, I couldn't afford to have an outside person using some of the other transcribing tools were a lot more, and they weren't offering the AppSumo deal. And the interface works really well, and it does the job. And I know the quality isn't. I go in and sometimes clean it up a little bit myself, but it just does provide a transcript, and it's a tool that, in my own particular need, because I love podcasting. Probably too much. I'll probably be better off using my time on something else, but I do love it. It does the job. What do you reckon, Bert?
I reckon, with your permission, I want to shift the conversation a bit on some of the content you just said. I think there's a lot of people that listen to this show and they hear what you just said and it's bothersome or worrisome. So I'm hoping you can explain this. Even though you bought a lifetime deal, they come to you for more money and you seem happy to pay it. People, I think, don't understand this token model of usage and payment. Could you kind of describe that a little for folks?
Well, it's a whole hell's kitchen, isn't it?
Because how far does a token go?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. that's the whole point. It's there to be, because Koala uses a token system. They've given me, you know, an enormous pool of tokens in there. I'm not a great admirer of this particular bit. I am, but it's a reality. Especially they're having to buy usage from
the LLMs, right?
From Claude or the others. They're just providing tools interface, but the engine they're having, it's a bit like hosting. Now the hosting world. Yeah, there are some, you know, there are some hosting providers that provide bare metal. You're buying a server in a data center. You're actually buying, and you're buying bare metal, and you can then either buy resources from some of these bare metal hosting providers, i.e. a part of a Linux administrator's time. And I did train as a Linux administrator many years ago, but I found it so boring that I, And I've got a love affair with Linux, but I also hate it because they never... Oh, I'm not going to go there. We'll spend a whole episode about that. So you buy this bare metal and you can buy... Or some of them don't provide any admin add-on services. You have to buy, go somewhere else to buy admin or provide it in-house. And finding a really good Linux admin. There's a lot of WordPress developers. I'm going to get some hate mail here that think they can administrate a bare metal or a droplet situation. It always bites, in my experience, it always bites them on the arse. Always, right? But that's my opinion. It's my honest opinion. So, but most people are using cloud. They're using cloud systems. They're using Docker or the droplets from various providers. And this is the same in this world. A lot of these providers, they're buying a bare metal or a provider and they're putting the interface on it, and that's why they have to use the token system. I did get back to the actual thing, though. I didn't go off on a big bang, did I?
You did get there.
I did get there. It was a bit winded, but I got there, didn't I?
Is it like these automation tools where, like, you sign up for Zapier or WP Fusion, and then sometimes your usage, your zaps, your connections, you have a certain amount, and then you go over and they have to pay extra?
Yeah, exactly right. It was much better, wasn't it, rather than my 5 minutes.
No, it's okay.
But I've got better. I can really go long-winded, as my beloved listeners and viewers would justify. But hopefully, I don't think I'll get there in the end. There are some value. I think we've got to wrap it up because you've got to go off and do your other jobs. He's a busy man, Dirk. And I've got to edit this video and that. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
Well, for business, it would be Mañana No Más. Anything that is Mañana No Más leads back to me, mañananomás.com and Mañana No Más on X and Facebook. And if it's personal, you just want to make a connection, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn and I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there, which makes it easy for me.
Yes, and remember my WordPress professionals. Yes, it can be stressful, can have your ups and downs, but anything is better than working for the man. So just remember that, my beloved WordPress tribe and my bootstrap SaaS people as well. We will be back next week with a great guest. I think our roundtable show is coming up the week after. That should be interesting. I should get myself in a lot of trouble there. But no, I'll try and be reasonable. We will be back next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.